Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to my Show Me the Science podcast. I've got loads of requests are coming in. Thanks very much for those, and I'm going to cover them in subsequent podcasts. Very happy to receive requests. But this week, as it's the festive season, I thought I'd tell you all about the science of the hangover. Now, you might be wondering, where is the science in a hangover? Many of us have had them over the years. They're very common. And it turns out there's loads of science behind hangovers and what's going on in our bodies and our brains. And I guess more relevant to our time of year that we're in, can you prevent them? And then second, if you have one, can you take something to ease your pain? And I've got all the answers for you on this podcast because there have literally been hundreds of studies done on this topic. Now, there's a scientific bit to do with the effects of alcohol on the body. And we all know it can have very negative effects. It can cause cancer. It can cause all kinds of problems in the liver. So there's a fair amount of research into alcohol anyway. But this is a bit less serious, you might say. A little bit of alcohol can be good for you, some people say, and there's some evidence for that. But of course, if you overindulge, then you will end up with the dreaded hangover. Now, it's interesting, this the history of alcohol in humanity. Now, people would wonder, when did we first start drinking? Well, it turns out that chimpanzees drink. Fruit will naturally ferment and produce alcohol. And chimps have been known to drink, you know, liquids from fermented fruits. So we were probably doing it for millions of years in that way. But the first evidence that we intentionally produced alcohol is about 10,000 years ago. And there's evidence that that was the time when we began brewing beer. And obviously they're using various pottery and sort of devices to do this, and they can date them. And they were using grains. They were fermenting the grains with yeast. Of course, yeast does turn sugar into alcohol. It does it, by the way, probably as a defense mechanism, we think. Why would yeast go to the trouble of making alcohol? Well, it kills germs. And that's probably the main reason why it makes the alcohol in the first place. But as humans must have noticed, oh, that alcohol makes us feel good. Hence, we start drinking it. But about 10,000 years ago, we had the first evidence of the first beer. Little did they know when they made the first beer that they also made the first hangover, because they must have overindulged even then and saw these symptoms of alcohol the next day. And we all know the symptoms. You get a very bad headache. That's the commonest symptom of all. You're fatigued, very tired. You might suffer from nausea. Tremor is a feature, especially in the hands, a slow tremor. Your heart will probably race. We sweat more as well. You feel a bit dizzy and your blood pressure goes up. Now, these are quite significant things. And depending on how much you've drank, that'll determine how many of these you have. And of course, your tolerance to alcohol comes into this as well. Some people don't have hardly any symptoms. They're a bit lucky. They're probably metabolizing the alcohol more effectively than others. There's a range, like most things in biology, we see differences between people. But most of us will have headaches and feel a bit tired. And you also have a sensitivity to sound and light. We all know that. The radio might begin to annoy you and the light might seem a bit bright and you're going to be more irritable, not a great thing. And of course, it can be quite serious for relationships. Things like hangovers might be more irritable and that isn't great either. The irritation is probably because your head is pounding and you've got a dry mouth and you feel awful. But those are the main symptoms of taking too much alcohol. And the question is, what is causing those symptoms? The first suspicion, and this goes back about 50 years, I'd say, or so, is alcohol gets broken down in the body, in the liver mainly, and it makes a thing called acetaldehyde. Now, acetaldehyde is a nasty chemical. It's a bit more toxic than the alcohol, and that's probably part of the headache and the nausea. You're making a poison, effectively, or a worse poison, given that we would probably classify alcohol as a poison anyway. And that is giving rise, we think, to some of the headache and some of the nausea. But it's not the whole story. And in fact, the science continues. And I've come across this recently. You probably don't make enough acetaldehyde. They've measured it in people's blood after a binging session. And there isn't that much acetaldehyde being made anyway. So that may not be a key factor. Maybe some will make more than others and then it plays its role in those people. But overall, the level of acetaldehyde that you get to is quite low and may not be hugely responsible for the headache and the nausea. Now, one thing we know for definite is alcohol goes into your brain and affects the brain. That's why you feel pretty good. It relaxes you. And that was obviously the key thing that people discovered 10,000 years ago or whenever. You feel good when you're drinking. Now, we know the basis for that. There's some great science on this, and it's all about neurotransmitters. And anybody who's listened to my podcast, I often talk about them. These are the chemicals made in the brain that regulate the brain's function. They're released by one neuron and they hit off another neuron and send signals all over the brain. And there are different neurotransmitters. You'd have heard of dopamine. We often mention that as kind of a motivating neurotransmitter, for instance. We also talk about 5-HT boosting mood, for instance. But in this case, two neurotransmitters are affected, glutamate and GABA, G-A-B-A, which stands for gamma-aminobutyric acid. So these two natural chemicals are in your brain. Glutamate is the reason why you sometimes feel anxious. In a social setting, you make more glutamate and you feel a bit anxious. The glutamate is firing on neurons that results in a feeling of slight anxiety. GABA, meanwhile, calms you down. It's the opposite to glutamate. Now, what does alcohol do? And again, the science on this is very compelling. Alcohol decreases glutamate and increases GABA. You've got the perfect combination there. You're decreasing the anxiety-causing neurotransmitter and you're boosting the one that makes you feel relaxed. End result, you feel good, you feel nice and relaxed, especially in a social setting where the glutamate is kicking off a bit. And that's, I guess, why we drink socially, to give us this sense of relaxation. And that's been proven scientifically. Now, the problem is, the next day, when alcohol levels fall, the brain resets itself, but it overrides. It's a bit like if you put your hand on a spring and take it off, the spring will go even higher. So in this case, the glutamate rebounds. It's called the glutamate rebound. You make even more glutamate than normal, and the GABA goes even lower, right? And now you feel what they call anxiety. Now, that isn't a scientific term, but it's a term that people use. It's the anxiousness, the unease. You know, you feel a bit irritable, all those symptoms, sometimes called the living horrors in Ireland. That's caused by this glutamate rebound and the GABA being suppressed even more. And that's why you have these uneasy feelings. In other words, the brain is trying to reset itself, but it overshoots. But mercifully, after a while, everything goes back to normal. And the one good thing here is by the time you're well out of it, maybe 5 or 6 hours after, things get back to normal and these feelings go away. Now, what strikes me here is how powerful the brain is. The fact that two neurotransmitters can govern whether you feel anxious or not is really interesting, isn't it? And then we have alcohol affecting them in a positive way, but the rebound makes you feel much, much worse, and then everything goes back to normal. That's why you're having those symptoms of unease, irritability, and anxiety. And of course, that's the downside of all of this. Now, let's look at some more reasons for the symptoms. Dehydration, we do know the basis for that. Alcohol represses a hormone called vasopressin in your body. Now, it's vasopressin's job is to limit you making urine. Like, we're making urine all the time. We drink stuff in and all the waste liquids in our bodies go out and end up in the urine. Vasopressin is keeping that controlled. And what does alcohol do? It suppresses vasopressin. And what that means is you're making a bit too much urine. And of course, we all know this. You'll go to the toilet more when you're drinking. Alcohol is called a diuretic. And it's happening because of suppression of vasopressin. And now you're losing lots of liquid. That's why you get dehydrated. And you feel this horrible sense of dehydration. And guess what? A key symptom of that is the headache. Because even the fluids around your brain, you lose a bit of liquid from that. And that tightens up the brain and puts pressure on the nerve cells there, which are stretching too much. And it's the stretching of the nerve cells that are giving you the headache. And that's the basis for the headache, we think, is to do with dehydration, as well as possibly acetaldehyde. But the thing is, you're dehydrated because you're suppressing vasopressin. Now, given those kinds of symptoms, you'd wonder why we drink at all, wouldn't you? But in fact, we do like it, especially socially. And drinking is going down. I mean, a striking fact in all Western countries and in the US, the level of alcohol consumption is falling. It's a third less than it was in 2001. And that's quite a substantial change. And of course, the other thing that's happened is these 0.0 alcohol products are more freely available. People prefer them. They might take them as an alternate to the alcoholic drink. They might, every second drink could be 0.0. Sales of those globally have gone up 25%, a substantial increase there. So maybe at last, we're coughing onto ourselves, so that's the right phrase for this. But we're realising, just take it a bit easy. If you're more moderate in your drinking, you may well have the effect on the glutamate and the GABA. You will relax a bit, but don't be overdoing it. And that might mean a zero alcohol product or laying off the drink entirely, if that's your preference, you know. So there's a big awareness of all of this out there at the moment. It's a big shift happening. And I notice as well in France, they're even pulling up vines, can you believe it? Ancient vines that were planted there for hundreds of years. Wine production is plummeting in France because there's less wine drinking going on. So there's a big shift happening, I think, globally with regard to alcohol, which has to be seen as a good thing overall, given the damaging effects that too much alcohol does to us, not least causing cancer, but also all the other untoward effects that alcohol might have. So given those symptoms, you know, you'd wonder, but we all still like a drink, especially at Christmas time, a little drop of sherry, whatever it is. And as I say, there's some evidence that moderate drinking can relax us and be beneficial. There was one study done when they compared a group of people drinking to a group of people having coffee, because they thought it was the social effect, because it could just be socialising is good for us. It turns out the drinkers had more benefits than the ones on the coffee. And one reason is when we drink, we're inclined to be more inclusive in our conversation. We welcome people in more. We laugh a lot more. And all of this decreases stress, which is a wonderful thing, because stress is such a negative. It's a difficult balancing act, this, in a way, because we know alcohol is bad for us, but stress is equally bad and can be really bad for us. So therefore, if you get the dose right to limit the stress, that could be a good thing overall. So it's a big debate happening at the moment. Now, the next topic I want to give you is on this drinking hangover issue. Is there any way to avoid it, apart from not drinking? Any way to avoid the hangover? Well, there's good science. Clear drinks are better. So vodka, gin, much better than brandy or port. And this has been scientifically proven. The reason for this is the darker drinks have other chemicals in them, because they're dark. There's a clue there. The chemicals that make them dark are actually one of the reasons for a hangover. There's things like phenols, tannins, and even methanol, low levels of methanol, which is another alcohol entirely, that can have very toxic effects. High levels of methanol are absolutely damaging to us. In fact, in the old days, when people couldn't afford to buy booze, they would drink methanol, meths it was called, and they can make you go blind. I think it's where the term blind drunk comes from, is one idea there. But there are very low levels of methanol in these things. Don't be frightened about drinking them because they've got methanol in. But it's the things like the tannins and the phenols, they worsen the hangover for definite. So, for example, I saw a study recently where they got grappa, the Italian spirit. There's clear grappa and there's dark grappa. And guess what? The clear grappa, much less of a hangover the next day for the same dose. There's powerful science for you. You know, you're comparing the same levels of alcohol in the same person, and the darker form gave a slightly worse hangover. So if you want to really avoid it, avoid those dark drinks is a very sensible thing to do. Now, the other thing you can do is you can, if you drink water between each alcoholic drink, that begins to ward off the dehydration, obviously, because you're taking in water. You're going to the toilet, you're urinating, you're back into the bar again, round the table with your friends. Take some water to supplement the loss of urine that you've just done in the toilet. So a non-alcoholic drink or water between each drink is useful because it keeps you hydrated, which is a useful thing given that dehydration is a major part of the hangover. Now, what about these things you can take? There's many things in health food stores, supplements of all sorts. Do they work or do they not? Sadly, the jury is out. There were 21 separate studies analysed, and overall, they didn't really show they had much of an effect. A great statement in that analysis was only very low quality evidence of efficacy is available. So those supplements don't work that well. They work a bit, but not very well. The ones that do seem to work have B group vitamins in them. And the vitamin B can certainly help ward off some of these symptoms. Ones with cloves, they're quite useful as well, possibly. But overall, they don't really work that well. A big thing you can do is take in sugar, because blood sugar falls with a hangover. Glass of orange juice, piece of toast, that can restore sugar in your blood and you feel a bit better. It turns out fatty foods don't really work. So the full Irish, probably not that good if it's just fatty foods. And of course, you can take painkillers like ibuprofen and aspirin. The recommendation is not paracetamol, because paracetamol puts your liver under pressure and the alcohol's doing that already. So you better have taken aspirin or ibuprofen, and they can take some of the pain away. Definitely avoid the hair of the dog, because that puts off the inevitable. So overall, here's my message. Please enjoy yourselves, of course. It's okay to have a drink in moderation. Absolutely. It helps us de-stress, which is wonderful. Try not overdo it. Try and have water regularly as you drink. One more quick thing is try and have a full stomach, because that lines the stomach and slows down the alcohol absorption. That can be beneficial as well. And if you do have a hangover, rest, you know, take lots of water, take in some orange juice and some sugar, take a bit of aspirin, and you'll get through it and you'll be fine. And the next morning, if you follow my guidance, your body will thank you for it. So there you have it, the science of the hangover, and all the very best, and thanks for listening. And of course, my podcast is a News Talk production, available every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.